And we will go on to 07CR 10023, United States versus Todd Jones. Good morning, Mr. Kamiansky.
Good morning. May it please the court. Murray Kamiansky for appellant Todd Jones. I'd like to just begin by putting forth the structure of our contentions in front of you. Number one, Mr. Jones here is challenging the length of the sentence imposed upon him, especially the additional 3 years of supervised probation, as well as its imposition, we feel, without the consideration of the 3553A factors. And as a preliminary matter, may please the court, but extremely critical to this appeal, the government in its reply does not give any authority at the Seventh Circuit to support such a sweeping rule that when revocation is mandatory, which it was in this case, pursuant to 3583G, because of the controlled substance of that Mr. Jones, marijuana that he smoked once or twice, the district court may therefore disregard the 3553A factors in imposing the length of a sentence. Now, it's true that Mr. Jones admitted to the possession and use of marijuana on August 14, 2013, and this admission mandated the revocation of Mr. Jones's supervised release, as well as the imposition of the terms of imprisonment. But it's the contention, our contention here, that a court cannot determine whether 3583G, which drives his imprisonment, is even in play without first following the provisions of 3583E3, which include the factors, the 3553A factors.
Well, surely you're not, or maybe you are. Are you arguing that he didn't possess a controlled substance?
Oh, not at all.
In violation of his terms of his release?
Not at all.
Well, then revocation is mandatory, isn't it?
Revocation.
Under 3583G.
Revocation is mandatory, but, and this is the big but, because remember, what's happened here is not only revocation and imprisonment for 4 months in this case, but the additional, we think, outrageous 3 years of probation.
Why is it outrageous? He has 7 alleged violations of his condition of release. He twice resists a peeps officer. He has aggravated battery, possession of marijuana, failure to report, failure to submit probation reports for 4 consecutive months, failing 2 drug tests. The sentence is at the bottom of the guidelines range. What's unreasonable about it?
The way you construct it, Your Honor, it may not sound unreasonable. I give you that. but
I didn't make it up.
God forbid. But what we're talking about here, let's focus here. We're talking about 2 admissions. One was the marijuana, and the failure to supply reports.
And so it was he's disputing the positive drug tests and the failure to report the change of addresses, and that was all disputed. Did he dispute that? Those other things? Because there were a string of them.
I'm sorry, did he dispute?
Did he dispute those? You said he admitted that he failed to submit the tests, and there was another one you said he admitted, but there were several.
He admitted to the possession of the marijuana on one try. He admitted to that. He also admitted and explained in mitigation the failure to submit timely reports. The admission to his failure to submit timely reports was driven by his well-founded concern that, A, he may be forced into a homeless shelter, he didn't really have a stable place to live, etc., etc. I'm going back to the fact that the court didn't apply these factors that many circuits have applied, Third Circuit in the cases that I cited, and they just didn't apply it. They went directly into...
Are you talking about Gagnon and Morrissey?
No. I'm going to get to Gagnon and Morrissey. Because, I'm talking about the U.S. v. Bunger 2007 Third Circuit case, again, that mandates the court to look at the 3553 factors before imposing a sentence, notwithstanding that you have mandatory revocation. But now, Your Honor, that you've raised the Gagnon versus Scarpelli, the government asserts that the appellant's reliance on Black v. Romano is misplaced because, as the government puts it, the Supreme Court's holding in Romano considered and rejected the very claim that Mr. Jones asserts, that is, that the court is not generally required to indicate that it has considered alternatives to incarceration before revoking probation. Now, as a matter of fact, by the government saying that our reliance on Black v. Romano and it's being overturned by the U.S. Mm-hmm. Supreme Court, it's almost that the government may not really be saying it, but certainly implying that Mr. Jones's reliance on Gagnon versus Scarpelli and Morrissey v. Brewster is also misplaced because of the Supreme Court's holding in Romano. Fact of the matter is that the Supreme Court's, when they decided Romano, the U.S. Supreme Court, did not overturn both Gagnon and Morrissey. And not only did the Supreme Court reaffirm the vitality of the due process requirements inherent in both Gagnon and Morrissey, it also, in a very limited case, and they referred to the decision, I refer the court to its decision, in Bearden versus Georgia, that recognized that in certain circumstances, fundamental fairness requires consideration of alternatives to incarceration prior to the revocation of probation. Here we had a situation where the court, prior to imposing sentences, did not, on the record, explicitly or even implicitly, raise and consider alternatives to incarceration, like home confinement, community service, those kinds of things. Notwithstanding the fact that in that very case of Black versus Romano, the U.S. Supreme Court observed that although a sentencing court is not required to state explicitly on the record why it has rejected alternatives to incarceration, the Supreme Court said in that very case that it has upheld the value of evaluating alternatives to incarceration.
Let me just say that Judge Mim did consider home confinement, as illustrated by his question to the government about its position on home confinement. He obviously considered it.
Well, he did ask the government. The government didn't seem to be too upset with home confinement. As far as the probation, respectfully, Your Honor, the probation report itself gave latitude to the Judge Ming to impose home confinement as an alternative to incarceration.
Yeah, but this is what Judge Ming decided was best for all concerned. And you know the standard of review here is incredibly deferential.
The probation officer himself, Your Honor, there's nothing in the record that suggests that 3 years excess probation is something that the probation officer himself thought was reasonable. There's nothing in the record.
This is not going to come out of your time, but I must ask you this. Are you admitted to the Seventh Circuit?
Yes.
Okay. I know you're a lawyer in L.A., right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, do you want to save your minute and a half?
For rebuttal?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Hi, Mr. Hartzler.
Good morning, Your Honor. Joe Hartzler for the United States. I'm not sure that saving rebuttal is necessary unless the court has questions of me. I think the standard review is difficult for the appellant to overcome, and the facts are obviously well known to the court.
The sidebar has been covered very convincingly so far.
Do we need to address any of the conditions that our recent opinion in U.S. versus Siegel recently disallowed?
I didn't hear the last part of your question.
It recently disallowed. Whether we need to address any of the conditions.
Oh, in Siegel?
Yeah.
Well, they're waived now. They're not raised on appeal. So if you look at the Bryant non-precedential case, it's in a footnote, you'll see that the court addressed them but recognized that they were waived, that any challenges to the... there were no challenges to supervised release. I do think that if it goes back to district court, the district court can modify those questionable or arguably vague conditions. Thank you.
Thank you.
What are you going to rebut?
I thought I had a minute and a half.
You do.
Yeah, you do, but I want to know, rebuttal means you're going to argue something he said.
I apologize.
That's right. Go ahead.
I apologize. I didn't verbatim write down everything he said. I'm sorry. I will say this, that we feel that the 3 years probation was excessive. The fact that the court didn't explicitly take into account the rehabilitation factors of Mr. Jones, that he was had completed a welding course, that he was well on his way to a rehabilitation, notwithstanding what the court has cited as his past history. And we're not quite sure what is being served here with him having an extra 3 years. But more to the point, the judge on the record said that if you behave yourself for a year, year and a half, then I'll rethink all of this. That, to me, says that maybe there's something that shouldn't have happened at the beginning. There was this tendency not to for marijuana and a couple of reports that he, I mean, these are not the worst things in the world. They're not great, but they're not the worst things in the world. And that I think is it goes more to the crux of what's reasonable and what's fair, and we think that should be considered.
Thank you very much. You were appointed.
Correct.
Well, you have the thanks of the court.
I'm sorry?
You certainly have the thanks of the court.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Case is taken under advisement.